broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I would choose the body scanners just because when you're already in a rush.
It's been my life, really, for the last 10 years. I've grown up.
I definitely believe it's going to be bad for me. It just kind of was one of the things.
I am a Republican. I would run as a Republican.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape crap.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. It ain't like that other crap. It's the Phil Hendry show. Anyway, the TSA allegedly makes a cancer victim remove her prosthetic breast. A woman created a poll asking users if she should have a birth.
What? Have a birth or abortion?
Yeah, give birth or have an abortion. And a serial killer is on a loose in Philly. Yeah. I shouldn't say that. It's a horrible, horrible event. Eventuality. Good luck to the Philadelphia police. A serial killer. The reason why I said yeah, and I didn't mean it that way, is that it's been a while since we've seen that kind of eventuality.
Yeah, you're talking about how they always catch him and everything.
Well, I don't know if they always catch him, but they definitely have better police science and forensic science where you don't see the Green River killers of the days of yore. You know, the BTKs and these guys go out and commit some monstrous murder, but they're generally apprehended, at least lately, within the first, I guess I shouldn't say that this is a, you know, a good thing, but within the first couple, it's just, it's a reality. It's a kind of a human, and I call them anti-humans. What I call serial killers, anybody that has no conscience and is a sadistic psychopath, I don't call them animals because that, as has been pointed out by many smarter people than me, that's an insult to animals. And what makes it, animals aren't bad. Animals don't kill for no reason. Psychopaths do. So I call them anti-human. I call them non-human, you know.
Well, they're like the undead.
What do you mean they're like the undead?
Yeah, like a vampire or something?
No, they're not a vampire.
Well, but I mean the undead.
No, not the undead. I'm not talking about vampires. They're like non-human. They're like fake human. They have all the look and the appearance and the behavior of a human, but they are anti-human, you know.
Well, what's the difference between that and an undead?
Yeah, what does the police say?
About undead, for instance.
Cops don't talk about undead because there's no such thing as an undead. Cops will talk about psychopaths, but they don't talk about the undead, okay?
There's nothing in a cop book about it?
No, man, there's nothing in a cop book about the undead. Why would there be?
Because they got to have the different stories about everybody.
They ain't got nothing about the undead because there's no such thing. Cops would have something about the undead if there was such a thing, but they don't.
What about the FBI?
What about the FBI?
They ain't got no undead bureau or anything?
The Undead Bureau? Yeah, that's what they got, man. You know what you guys ought to do?
Well, I mean, we're just asking questions.
Why don't you call them up, man, and find out who it was that... what was that jazz, that X-Files? You remember that show?
Man, I love that show.
Yeah, call them up and see if those X-Files people are working. Maybe they can help you.
That's ridiculous.
Well, you guys are talking about the Undead Bureau. TSA pat-downs overly intrusive. Are you kidding me or something? You know that X-Files is fake.
Yeah, I know it's fake, but it's supposed to be based on real stuff.
Oh, my rear end, based on real stuff. Yeah, it's based on stories. It's based on some fragment of fantasy, some fragment of a great horror story. It's based on some H.P. Lovecraft. It's based on some Rod Serling. It ain't based on nothing true.
No, that's the X-Files is supposed to be based on a true thing.
Really? Like the time they were at that circus and that dude's evil twin grew out of his side?
Yeah.
Yo, guess what? That was Basket Case, man.
Yeah, Basket Case is great.
Basket Case wasn't real, is all I'm trying to tell you.
Basket Case is probably the best movies ever made.
I don't necessarily disagree. But I'm telling you, Basket Case ain't based on anything real. Evil Twin. The incoming leaders of the House Transportation Committee on Friday called the new airport pat-down procedures almost as goofy as Robert and Bud. No, they called them overly intrusive and demanded that the transportation... No, read it, man. No, it doesn't say that. And demanded that the Transportation Security Administration restrict their use. So the new pat-down procedures are overly intrusive. These are the incoming leaders of the House Transportation Committee. Both of these men, Republicans, In a letter to the TSA, Representative John Mica of Florida, Representative Thomas Petrie of Wisconsin, who are set to assume leadership of aviation issues in Congress next year when the Republicans take control, said only the highest risk passengers should be subjected to the more aggressive pat-downs. I have to tell you, I agree. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that. Here is Mackenzie Wooters of Delaware telling USA Today that she received a thorough pat-down.
It's my first pat-down post-body scanner, and there isn't any area they forget to touch. We had infant formula, and I guess that is somehow considered an added security layer or something. So, nonetheless, I went on to receive the pat-down, which was as invasive as everyone has heard, and quite aggressive.
All right, USA Today asked passengers which they would pick to go through, a pat-down or the body scanner. Remember, you go through the pat-down if you refuse the body scan.
I would choose the body scanner just because when you're already in a rush and trying to get to your gate, the pat-down seems like it might take more time, and it's a little more intimate. I'm uncomfortable with both situations, but I think the pat-down would be making me more uncomfortable.
If given a choice, I would go through the scanner, and I did say to someone, I would be interested, could I view the scanner myself?
Whatever's fastest, because it's faster.
So there you go. You hear a lot of people talking scanner. I'd go through the scanner, too. Whatever. You know, if somebody wants to save a picture of me nude, have at it, man.
Dad, that ain't gonna happen.
Well, but you certainly welcome to it. Phil Hendry, nude. Because in that instance, I wouldn't be the object of ridicule. The guy that saved the picture would.
How do you know it'd be a guy?
It'd be a guy. Don't worry about it. But here's the thing about this pat-down versus scanner versus security measures. And it's very true, and I will be just one of many who's said this. And this isn't the first time, man, that we've talked about who originally, all the way back to September the 11th of 2001, who originally was suspected, what individual was originally considered to be high risk or suspicious or otherwise of a group that we should notice. Well, as we said then, and I think I've said it every year since 2001, it was as follows. Young men ages 19 to 33 who are in the United States on a student visa and who come from countries that are, quote unquote, terror sponsoring or on the watch list. All right? Young men 19 to 33 who are in the United States on student visas who come from terror sponsoring countries. Now, that's not profiling. That is a type. I don't call that profiling because that's not an entire racial group. That's not an entire gender.
Yeah, but it's Arab. You know it's Arab.
No, it ain't, man. It didn't say nothing about Arab.
It doesn't say anything about Arabs, bud. It said,
well, what other terror is there?
North Korea? Yeah. Didn't think of that one, huh?
Yeah, I got you on that one, man.
Well, that's yeah, right.
Not yeah, right. North Korea. Okay, so it isn't just Arabs. Asian. And I don't know of any other countries, and I'm sure there are others. What the point I'm making here, though, is that it does not narrow down to racial type. It narrows down to point of origination, nationality, and that's not racial. That's nationality. See? You can have, the United States, more than any other country in the world, and it's something to be very proud of, more than any country in the rest of the world, the United States is more nationality than it is racial type. The United States is black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native, you name it, man. So when you talk about an American, you are not talking about a racial type. Any other country, it's very, very possible, even Britain. Cuba is also considered a state sponsor of terror. So you would have young men, 1933. Now, I don't know if there's any Cuban nationals in the United States on student visas. But see, that's what we're talking about. Now, why do we bring this up? Because if we focused on this group, we would be focusing primarily, ladies and gentlemen, on the very individuals that we have arrested or otherwise sought in the number of terror incidents that we've encountered since 2001, whether it is Richard Reed, whether it is... Now, I know Richard Reed came from England, so he was not coming from a terror-sponsoring country. However, Richard Reed originated, I believe, and I don't know if he had a British passport or if he had more than one passport. He could have a British passport and another passport. Richard Reed, though, was Arab, and Richard Reed did originate, I think, in an Arab country. I think he was from originally an Arab country. But you would have narrowed it down. Every single one of these situations, whether it's the underwear bomber, whether it's the dam, this thing with the freaking printing cartridges, whether it's Richard Reed, you name it, all of them fell within those markers that I just laid out for you in some way. And certainly that's something that you can take and you can manipulate. You can change, you can change the guidelines here and there. You can change the marker. You can, well, maybe 1933, maybe that's too old. Maybe not just terror sponsoring nations, maybe Arab nations, all Arab nations, you know, or maybe it's just, North Korea and Syria. I don't know. But as sure as hell would... Now, where the hell... Richard Reed was born in South London, but he trained at an Al-Qaeda camp in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
What kind of passport did he have?
Well, if he was born in London, he would have had a British passport. So, we would have missed him.
What's that do to your theory?
Blows it right out of the water.
That's what you get for reading Ann Coulter.
That's right. Yeah, I'm going to blame Ann Coulter. All right, so I don't know, man. Let me look into this, because I think I'm right still. 877-877-876-PHIL. A woman asked the public if she should give birth or get an abortion, plus the Dr. Green Thumb report. How about that, man? A couple asking if they should give birth or have an abortion. We'll have the Dr. Green Thumb report. And don't forget our website, live streaming video of the show right now on audio, philhenryshow.com. Woo!
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Quit yelling, man.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show here in our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. A woman, meanwhile, speaking of pat-downs and scans, it's news. It's all over the country. A woman says her Lambert St. Louis International security screening was sexual assault. So you just heard some people here in our last segment saying, well, all things being equal, I think I'd probably like to have the body scan. But if you don't want the body scan, you have to be patted down. And when you're patted down, well... More Americans are growing angry over what the Transportation Security Administration admits are more intrusive security pat-downs at airports. One woman comparing her experience to sexual assault. Now, business traveler Penny Maroney was flying home from St. Louis to Chicago. Like all other airline passengers, she had to go through security first. When the metal in her artificial knees set off the detectors, she had to undergo more screening. Maroney asked if she could go through a body scanner, but was told none were available. A pat-down was the only alternative. I thought you had to go through a body scanner, and then you go through the pat-down. Or do you go through the body scanner if your metal knees set off the thing, and then you go for that, and then the thing? Who knows? Maroney explained the pat-down was aggressive and intrusive, with the agent touching her breast and genitals. G-E-N-T-I-A-L-S. I was shaking and crying when I left that room, Maroney says. Under any other circumstances, if a person touched me like that without my permission, it would be considered criminal sexual assault. Was it a man? Was it a woman? Maroney complained to the Transportation Security Administration supervisor and then complained on the ACLU's website. The national office is now monitoring what it calls a flood of complaints from across the country. Edwin Yonka of ACLU Illinois says there are no laws and no regulations that govern scanners and pat-downs. Maroney says she wishes there were full body scanners everywhere so that she could have avoided the pat-down. So she would have taken a scan if they'd had a scanner available. Penny Maroney talks to KMOX-TV in St. Louis about an aggressive pat-down that she received from a TSA agent named Eddie. No, I don't know who it was. Was it a woman or was it a man?
And I said, well, I would prefer to use the body scanner, and I was told they were not available. Her gloved hands
touched my breasts, went between them. Then she went into the top of my slacks, inserted her hands between my underwear and my skin, mm-hmm. and put her hand up on the outside of my slacks and patted my genital area. Mm-hmm. I was shaking and crying when I left that room. I likened it to being raped.
Well, so that was a woman. All right. And so that's where that's at. TSA, what do you want me to say?
Well, what do you think?
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't think if you are doing an aggressive pat down and you find something, what are we supposed to say here, folks? What are we supposed to be? What are we looking to do here? You know, I don't see anything wrong with that. She may be offended and upset, and she's all twisted out of shape. But anybody got any brighter ideas? I mean, I already said, why don't we just go ahead and target the suspect group? But that's obviously not going to cover it, because we just mentioned Richard Reed. He's from Pakistan. TSA makes cancer victim remove prosthetic breast. Well, this ought to be a lot of fun here. A flight attendant and cancer survivor said she was forced to remove and show her prosthetic breast to a TSA agent during a security pat-down. Kathy Bossie of Charlotte, who has been a flight attendant for the past 32 years, told CBS affiliate WBTV that in August she was asked to go through the new full-body scanners at Charlotte Douglas International Airport. As a three-year breast cancer survivor, Bossie said she didn't want the added radiation through her body, but reluctantly agreed. The TSA agent told me to put my ID on my back. What does that mean, man? When I got out of there, she said, because my ID was on my back, I had to go. I don't know what this story means. All right, enough about this stuff, okay? Here's the answer to the question. Until we got something better, then you're going to have to suffer it. That's just where it's at. We got people smuggling explosives onto aircraft, okay? We've had it happen within the last 60 days. We've had it happen consistently since 9/11. We got people who are trying to blow aircraft out of the sky. It's not anybody's imagination. It's nobody's making it up. Nobody's paranoid. Nobody's saying, ooh, we're seeing things. It's happening. It's out there. And it's real. So until anybody else has got a brighter idea, I don't know what else to say. Yes, I would love to be able to just screen Arabs and Muslims and people from countries that are suspect. I would love that. If it was within the guidelines of age group and in the guidelines of what was on the passport, I'd love that. But that would be profiling. That would be bad. That's racism. Isn't it right? So we're just going to have to do this. Now, if they don't want to do this, well, then we're just going to have to fly and risk getting our asses blown out of the air. I don't know what else to tell you. You know, one of the problems with our country, especially this country, is while America has always been an admirable place because we believe there's no problem we can't beat, we don't believe that there is a thing out there that has ever been invented or created or anything that is even God made that we can't overcome. You know, but much of what we want to overcome now is garbage of our own making. You know, what we want to overcome now is our need to be secure, but at the same time, feel secure. We want to overcome that. I want to be secure, but I don't want to have to go through the steps necessarily needed to be secure. Do you understand? Certainly. And then I'm going to sue you if I'm not secure. I understand perfectly, sir. Well, that's impossible. It's impossible. And when you're dealing with people that are putting explosives in their underwear and they'll blow themselves and anybody else around them to hell and back and they don't care, and you're dealing with people that'll put explosives into any kind of container and put it anywhere in the aircraft, and you're dealing with people that are going to continue attempting to do this, now they realize they can't hijack planes because you know what happens to hijackers. They're going to get their asses beat. The people on the plane don't care because they realize they're dead anyway. So you, Mr. Hijacker, you're a dead man trying to hijack an aircraft. So what's the next best thing? Nah, now they're going to smuggle on explosives. That is something they can do. So how do we check for that? Well, there's no other way. There's no other way. There's no other way. Unless, of course, we want to start to do things in an intelligent way, which is to say, there is a suspect group. let's begin by focusing on them. But we can't do that. We can't do that because there is an agenda on the side of people who were completely opposed to this idea of a war on terror in the first place, and that is, let's not lose our humanity at the expense of trying to protect our country. And they think losing the humanity is like arresting people. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. The Dr. Green Thumb Report next.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Are you kidding me, man? You're going to get a Jaguar? Come on.
I don't want to get another Jaguar. You know, look, now I don't want to talk about this.
You want to get... You're going to drive a truck. You look like a redneck for sure.
I want to get a truck because it's something that I would use, all right? And the guy, Jason and Charles, they agree with me.
Are you kidding me, man? I had a chance to drive something sweet, like a real sweet ride like that. And you want to get a short like a Jaguar? You want to get a truck? Lord, you out of your mind, man.
I can't agree with him there.
All right, fine. You guys, you know, go ahead. You are free to go and get Jaguars. I'm going to get a truck.
You're nuts.
Yeah, look it, man. You have to drive it?
No, but I got to look at it.
Yeah, you got to look. Get out of here. Philadelphia police say a serial killer who could be responsible for recent assaults against women may be on the loose. A serial killer who could be responsible for recent assaults against women may be on the loose. The bodies of two women who were half naked and choked to death have been found within a mile of each other in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, you want some water?
I know I'm belching and everything. Excuse me. A local NBC affiliate reported the bodies of two women who were half naked and choked to death have been found within a mile of each other in the last 3 weeks. A third woman has come forward and said she survived a similar attack with her assailant leaving her for dead behind an abandoned building. Homicide police are trying to determine if there's a connection between the deaths. Well, they don't know yet, so that's why we say possible. So the headline is sexy, but it is yet to be determined. We're looking for a definitive link, said Deputy Commissioner William Blackburn, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer. So that's in Philadelphia. The first victim was Elaine Goldberg. She was 21. Her body was discovered in a lot. Then on Saturday, police found the body of Nicole Piancentini behind an abandoned building. Both women had been strangled. Police said they appeared to have had sexual contact with their attacker, but it's not clear if the contact was consensual. The third woman, who has not been identified...
What's that mean?
Huh?
What's consensual?
If they agreed to it. If it wasn't a rape.
Oh.
The third woman, who was not identified, said she went behind an abandoned building with a man she met on the street. He assaulted her and choked her until she lost consciousness. Well, that's smart.
Are these lady hookers?
I don't know, man. It doesn't say, but perhaps. The suspect is described as being in his late 20s to early 30s, African-American or Latino, between 5'8" and 6 feet tall. Meanwhile, here's the big story of the hour. Not the big story of the hour, but this is in Apple Valley, Minnesota, where a couple touched off an internet frenzy Thursday with their birth or not website. KSTP Television Minneapolis asked Alicia Arnold why she's putting this issue up to an online vote.
We really wanted to be able to let people voice their opinions, and I think a lot of the time that people it's a very controversial issue. People definitely have opinions about this, but I think a lot of the time that they don't feel like their opinions get heard or that it doesn't go anywhere, and so we wanted to give people a chance to vote and actually have their, you know, opinion be heard and make a difference in a real life situation.
What?
That sounds like bull, man.
I don't believe that.
Why?
Well, this is supposedly a couple that they are torn as to whether they're going to have the baby or not because this poor girl had 3 miscarriages and they weren't sure whether they're ready for a baby. That, to me, sounds highly emotional. And she says, I wanted to wait longer because I was losing weight and living a healthier lifestyle. I wasn't sure what to do and all of this and all of that. And then she says, but, you know, people want to have an opinion, too. To me, that sounds real phony baloney.
Yeah, what does she care about what people think, man?
Here is Arnold, the lady, I guess, asks whether she regrets the poll. And that's that. Now then, here it is.
Ask me in another couple weeks. No. Regret.
Well, ain't she glib, you know?
Right here, man.
All right.
Ooh, ask me in another couple weeks. No.
Well, I hear the whole thing.
Regret? No. I tried to avoid things that would cause regret, but I am a little bit wary now. I guess I would think twice about, you know, ever trying something like this again. If I went back, I
must
would probably
tough.
Do a little bit more soul searching before this went up. But, you know, what can we do now?
But you never have regrets, huh? So, Bob, what do you think about voting on whether, you know, you should have your testicles cut off? Wow. Well, you know, I... So, Mary, I know that, you know, it's kind of a tough one. Should you have an abortion?
You know, Chuck, it's never easy. It's never easy. I was saying to Hal, my brother, we were, you know, we're bowling. And, I mean, don't she sound all relaxed?
Yeah, it sounds kind of suspicious.
What are you talking about? She was talking about whether she wanted to do it or not.
She sounded too relaxed. Ooh, yeah, well, I don't know, man. She's rapping about whether it sounded to me like, well, what do you think of the drapes? Oh, boy, that's a good call. Yeah, I don't know. To do it again, I think I would have gone with orange. I don't know. People like that, they're giving me the creeps. Finally, Beverly Hills, California, new details emerge of the slaying of Hollywood publicist Ronnie Chasen. This is a story that is interesting. It's a tragic story, but now we have we have to solve this. Now, Ronnie Chasen is a publicist.
What's a publicist anyway?
I told you the other day, a publicist is somebody.
Publicists, they're like people that put your name on a newspaper and everything.
That doesn't mean anything.
She's like the person that the company hires, the movie company, to go out and get publicity, to book interviews and to get the names of the stars. Where were they having dinner? And where were they doing this week? And what are they doing that week? You know, they drop all this jazz. I don't know.
Oh.
Anyway. New details emerged in the slaying of Hollywood publicist Ronnie Chasen, but police detectives still have no motive or suspect in the Tuesday morning shooting attack. Detectives now believe Chasen was killed in a car-to-car shooting, with the assailant firing into the passenger side window of her Mercedes coupe. Beverly Hills Mayor Jimmy Delshad told the Los Angeles Times that detectives believe a vehicle taller than Chasen's car, perhaps a sport utility vehicle, was involved. Delshad said, quote, indications are the shots could have come from another car higher up, maybe an SUV, adding that it does not appear at this point that the assailant fired while standing in the street. Delshad and other Beverly Hills officials expressed shock over the shooting, saying the city has not seen anything like it in years. Councilman John Mirisch said residents are horrified by the ruthlessness of the crime. We hope the police can bring whoever committed this awful crime to justice. It's clearly their top priority. Lieutenant Tony Lee of the Beverly Hills Police Department said Thursday that officials have... What are you doing, bud?
I was just wondering about, you know, about Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, what about that?
Oh, Eddie Murphy, huh?
Yeah.
You know what? This is a real murder, man. This ain't no movie, you know?
I know.
So what do you... You know, cool it with your Beverly Hills cop bullcrap.
We just think, man, what if they had Eddie Murphy?
What if they had Eddie Murphy? Then they'd have an actor for a cop.
That's true.
Yeah. This ain't nothing to laugh at, man. This is, like, real, you know? Real.
I know it's real. I'm just saying, if they had a cop as good.
Maybe they do have a cop as good. Have you thought about that?
I doubt it, man. We would have heard about him.
What are you talking about? You would have heard of... You know, cops are... You know that cops are out there doing great jobs every day, and you don't hear about them, man. They ain't getting the headlines. What do you think this is? Dirty Harry or something?
Well, wouldn't they get in the newspaper and everything?
No! You know, you guys watch way too many movies. There's cops out there that are doing their job every day, doing heroic things every day, making arrests, saving lives every day, and it don't make the front page like Dirty Harry.
Well, I thought about it.
Anyway, Lieutenant Tony Lee of the Beverly Hills Police... Look at this. I just noticed. Thanks, Chase. Now, I don't want to change subjects too much, but he said that this abortion woman, she gave a 13-minute interview to KSTP, and in the entire interview, she was never emotional. She's just all thinks it's so bitching that she's on TV. Screw you, lady. All right, now getting back to this story, Lieutenant Tony Lee of the Beverly Hills Police Department said Thursday that officials have not concluded whether Chasen was shot at the intersection or closer to where her car crashed into a light pole near Whittier and Greenway Drives. Delshad said police found some pieces of glass, possibly from Chasen's car window, near the intersection of Whittier and Sunset Boulevard, but they found no bullet casings. He added that Beverly Hills police were working on the case 24 hours a day. Chasen was shot to death early Tuesday while driving her Mercedes-Benz near the intersection of Whittier and Sunset in Beverly Hills. She was on her way home from a movie premiere after party. She's believed to have left the event about midnight, traveling west on Sunset. Friends believe she had planned to head south to her condominium on Wilshire Boulevard near the grounds of the Los Angeles Country Club. Several residents dialed 911 at the time of the attack. The first call from a person who lives near Sunset and Benedict Canyon Drive reported a gunshot. Moments later, more 911 calls came in reporting shots heard several blocks to the west near Whittier and Wilshire. Another resident called 911 to report hearing the car crash into the light pole. Boy, that's a lot of 911 calls, man.
Yeah, well, you know, you hear a gunshot, man, in Beverly Hills.
I guess so. How many shots did they say? Four?
Yeah, four of them.
All right, well, I made a prediction, and I made a prediction they'd have this thing wrapped in 2 weeks, and I hold to that
Hello,
prediction.
Dr. Green Thumb.
You'll be sorry.
Oh, be quiet, man. Now the Dr. Green Thumb report. Man arrested after his safe is stolen. A Portsmouth man is facing drug charges after an unusual set of circumstances led police to uncover an alleged stash of marijuana. Sean Riley, age 45, is accused of growing 14 marijuana plants in a shed on his Martins Road home. The investigation began when a neighbor called police because two men were spotted stealing a safe from Riley's home. They were arrested and the safe was taken to the Portsmouth Police Department. Police told Eyewitness News Riley called to report a stolen safe, so they had him come to the station to identify it. The owner of the safe came up to headquarters, provided us with access to the safe. Inside, we found approximately $5,000 in cash and 2 pounds of weed. Police immediately seized the safe. They say a search of Riley's property turned up the 14 marijuana plants. Riley, along with his two 19-year-old men accused of stealing the safe, have all been arraigned. What an idiot. Legalizing weed, if nothing else, you know, that's the bad part. We will never find out who the real idiots are. In Clairton, Pennsylvania, state police say a Western Pennsylvania woman tried to hide weed in a child's dirty diaper. That's right. Trooper Stephanie Plume had just asked permission to search the car of 23-year-old India Banks of Clairton when Banks allegedly handed the diaper to the trooper and asked her to toss it into a bag of garbage inside the vehicle. Plume says she thought it was odd of Banks to hand over the wet diaper instead of throwing it in the bag herself. So the trooper checked inside and found a small bag of dope. Plume described the October 25th traffic stop when Banks appeared in court Wednesday to waive her right to a preliminary hearing. Banks will enter a special probation program for first-time offenders that will enable her to change diapers and her record to be expunged if she complies with her probation terms. Dateline Billings, Montana, a 50-year-old Billings woman is charged with criminal possession of the weed with intent to distribute dope after she received a package of dope with 7 pounds of the dope inside. The Billings Gazette reports Mildred Ann Strike, not Lucky Strike, Mildred Ann Strike, pled not guilty during her arraignment Thursday. District Judge Susan Waters maintained her bond at $5,000. Prosecutors say a FedEx employee called Billings on November the 21st, Billings Police, about a suspicious package. A lot of that going around. Police obtained a search warrant and found it contained 7 pounds of weed. Officers delivered the package to Strike and they arrested her. A search of the woman's residence turned up additional marijuana and drug paraphernalia. In other Dr. Green Thumb news, Dateline Carson, Nevada. A northern Nevada school principal is defending the suspensions of 12 students for posting pro-marijuana signs on campus. Carson Middle Valley School Principal Robert Bean says the signs reading "Legalize weed and free the weed" caused a disruption of his classmates, and he says they violated policy requiring all signs to be approved by the staff before being displayed. A man robbed trying to illegally sell his medical marijuana stash. Dateline Colorado Spring, Colorado. A medical marijuana user says two rotten, stinking punks stole his pot after first asking to buy it. The man, 29, told Colorado Springs police he was behind a building when the two teenagers tried to complete the deal. The man told officers when they got there, one of the teenagers pulled out a gun, pointed at the man, and said, "Let's have a weed." The victim said he pulled out a knife and stabbed one of the teen. Boy, this is a real savory crowd, huh? You sure this weed your medical marijuana, my rear end? The man said the boys managed to beat him up, took the marijuana, and ran. No shots were fired. No one's been arrested. One of them stabbed, almost shot. Jeez. Sheesh, Luis. That's the Dr. Green Thumb report here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, Joe Scarborough gets suspended at MSNBC. We'll tell you why. Plus, did Bones finally beat the Big Bang Theory on TV? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, last segment of the show, and for those of you listening in Los Angeles, check us out tomorrow night on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio there at 7 o'clock Pacific time, and we will let you guys here online on philhendryshow.com know when we will be providing the video cast of that show as well. Top ratings from this week, 8 p.m., this is Thursday night, right? Last night, Thursday night, 8 p.m., CBS's The Big Bang Theory, along with Crap My Dad Says. Big Bang Theory, 13 million viewers. Crap My Dad Says, 8 million viewers. Bones came in second, 9 million. ABC Special, A Charlie Brown Christmas, 7 million. NBC Community, 4 million. The Vampire Diaries on CW, 3 million. The Big Bang Theory wins the 18 to 49-year-old sweepstakes. And that is CBS Show. 9 o'clock, CBS's CSI, 14 million viewers. Grey's Anatomy, second. Look at CBS, NBC, The Office, 7.2 million, Fringe with 4.9 million, The Fox, and The CW, Nikita. And the 18 to 49-year-old sweepstakes is won by ABC's Grey's Anatomy. And finally, at 10 o'clock, CBS, The Mentalist, 14.7, The Mentally Ill on ABC, ABC's Private Practice, NBC's The Apprentice is wiping up the rear.
Yeah, so much for Donald Trump.
Oh, well, don't give me that crap. Trump, you know, like he cares. Harry Potter earns $24 million in midnight showing. That's right, Harry Potter, with a big, fat midnight showing last night. $24 million. Did I say last night? I don't know when it was. It's midnight opening. It eclipsed the last movie, Harry Potter and what is this, The Half-Breed? No, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, which had $22.2 million midnight launch in 3,003 locations. Harry Potter's Tom Felton, who plays Draco Malfoy, talks to Clever TV about growing up on the set of the film.
You know, it's been my life, really, for the
last... That's the end of that. No, I'm kidding. Here.
You know, it's been my life, really, for the last 10 years. I've grown up with everyone on the set, the cast and crew.
Right.
And I joined a young boy, and I've left a young man, which is kind of weird, because I've lost a bit in the middle, and it all seems like a little bit of a blurred into one. But, you know, certainly in the last few years, looking back at it, it's been an incredible journey, and incredibly lucky to have been a part of it.
Right. If you get yourself a job, it might be bloody good, you know?
Quit talking funny.
All right. MSNBC has suspended Joe Scarborough, for just being a slob. They can't stand his looks, and they don't like him, and they love Keith Olbermann, and they decided to make Keith feel better. They'd make an issue out of Joe Scarborough, so they have suspended him. Of course, I'm kidding. No, they suspended Joe Scarborough because he made political contributions that he didn't report to. So Phil Griffin suspended him for 2 days, and apparently these were political donations that were made by Joe Scarborough between 2004 and 2008, and they were never in excess, according to Mr. Scarborough, they were never in excess of $500, and they were to family members and friends. Scarborough says he never reported these to MSNBC because they were to friends and they were to family members, and he didn't think that he needed to. Now, this is a company policy, folks. And for anybody to say, and I said this with Keith Oberfuhrer, for anybody to say, ooh, you know, ooh, what? It's not a federal law this cat's violated. It's not a state law. It's a company policy, a pretty weird one. Very strange, considering what these two men do, Mr. Oberbin and Mr. Scarborough. These guys are paid to give opinion. One would think if they've got opinions, they support certain political candidates. And I don't think anybody, if you had said, oh, by the way, Joe Scarborough has donated money to this guy and Keith Oberbin to that guy, and no one told you that it violated MSNBC company policy, it would not strike any of us in the least strange. It would not strike us as being the least bit weird. But at MSNBC, they don't want that, and that's just where that's at. And I don't know whether that's promulgated at the NBC itself or at GE. I don't know who the hell came up with it, but they should be taken out and shot. Now, no, I'm kidding. It's stupid. Anyway, that's Joe Scarborough. See, he's going to be out for a couple of days. And, you know, here's the funny thing about it. I feel bad for the guy, but I'm kind of glad because I get sick of listening to him, you know?
Yeah, I'd rather see that other lady.
Yeah. I'd like to tell you about the UCF students who stocked up on the Four Loko, but we don't have time. I'll just say this. These UCF students have stocked up on Four Loko, so once it's illegal, don't make any... Never mind. Charles Wygant, our technical director, Dan Northcraft, our screener, and our producer is Jason Rentz. I'll see you tomorrow night on KFI, Los Angeles.
Phil Hendry.